Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joined by a man who was in the middle of all of the NFL news yesterday when he reported that NFL coaches could return to facilities as early as next week, maybe full squad mini camps in mid to late June. But I wanted him first and foremost for his Jamal Adams thread. And Charles Robinson, friend of the show, friend of the station, joining us here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Charles. How you been, man?
I'm doing well, fellas. How you doing this morning?
Doing pretty well. Take us through the Jamal Adams thread, what you know and what Cowboy fans need to know about this rumor, if you could.
Yeah, okay. So, here's the genesis of this whole thing. The last year's trade deadline situation happens, right? Okay, so the Cowboys had interest in Jamal Adams. You know, the Jets had told Jamal Adams, ownership, you know, the general manager, this was not a guy they wanted to trade, made that, you know, clear to him. But, again, situation where the Jets turn over the roster, they pick up the phone, you know, Jamal Adams finds out. The Jets are angry at the Cowboys because, you know, they feel like a lot of the information got out there was leaked by the Cowboys. They weren't happy about that. This is something that never went away for Jamal Adams. Been upset. This offseason comes. He says, hey, you know, want to do my contract extension. Want to get extended after 3 years. The Jets are sitting there going, oh, okay, well, geez, no one's doing, you know, extensions from the 2017 class. You know, Christian McCaffrey gets it done, but how many elite level defensive players play through their fourth year before getting an extension done? What kind of money are we talking here? Mm-hmm. Jamal Adams camp throws a number out there that is the highest paid safety in the league. I think solidly the highest paid safety in the league, meaning like, hey, it's not $1 over. It's the number they're looking for is actually decently higher, at least from the Jets. And the Jets are like, yeah, not going to do that. Like, we're not going to be able to do that right now. There's too much uncertainty. The offseason goes haywire. There's talk amongst NFL teams that next year's cap might be a flat cap, meaning it may not recede, which is, I think, pretty unlikely considering the union and the league will try to make sure it doesn't happen. But it may very well be the same cap number it is this year, which is hard to start piling more money onto the books. When all of a sudden you won't have the natural increase and, you know, all these things that you got to worry about. So it just goes wrong. Jamal Adams' camp, you know, sits there and says, hey, well, let's deal him then. Yeah, if you're not going to sign him to a contract extension, he wants the extension, we should deal him. Well, you know, his dad, George Adams, George knows Will McClay. Like, there's a relationship there between the Adams family and some of the front office components of the Dallas Cowboys. I am certain that Jamal and his family have made it clear it'd be great if the Cowboys were to deal for him. Like, he'd love to play for the Cowboys, yada, yada, yada. So, there, you know, the pressure gets put on the Jets by Jamal's camp. What would it take? Like, hey, if somebody calls, like, what would this cost? And conceivably, if it's just any old team, hey, the Jets would probably pick up the phone for a first and a third. Like, if that's a conversation starter, maybe that's a conversation that can be had. Cowboys, considering what happened with the trade deadline last year, considering how ownership felt about how all the information seemed to come out from the Cowboys side, might actually cost the Cowboys a little bit more than a first and a third if it were to ever go down. The Jets are sitting there going, we want to extend the guy. If we trade him now to his team of choice, or we extend him, what message are we sending, you know, to the rest of the organization? Hey, if you want to get out of here, you can put us in a corner and we'll trade you the team of your choice. And you may not even need a contract renegotiation. You may not even need the extension. You might play on the fourth year of your rookie deal for that organization. I mean, the Jets are like, look, this is a situation that makes us look bad all the way around. And that's kind of where this is sitting right now. And you know, it's not a good situation. I think it's a mess, it's very messy in particular for the Jets. And if you're the Cowboys, let's be honest, Dak Prescott is still the priority there. You got to get Dak done. I mean, I think Dak, you know, that trumps everything else. So this conversation is early. If anything were to even happen, I mean, we're, you know, there's so much more that has to happen with the Dallas Cowboys to even open that avenue. And even then, I think it's a long thought process about whether that's the right thing to do.
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, joins us here at 105 through the Fan. Wouldn't, you know, because you mentioned the cap, that would be the same thing for the Cowboys, right? I mean, they would have to sign him not knowing what the cap is. They're not going to trade for him without signing him. And then you add Dak's deal, which, you know, is only going to be going up from here. Would they even right. financially be able to do something like this?
Well, okay, you're right. So this idea of, well, you know, you don't want to trade. I am of the mind that you don't trade, particularly a first and a third round pick for a guy without having a deal in place. And it's not a rip up deal; it's a tack on deal. Like, there's no way you tear up, you know, what remains in terms of control. You tack that deal on to the end. And so, you know, for the Cowboys, you know, they're going to want, we've discussed this with the Dak thing, you know, they're going to want long-term control over a player like that. You know, even though he would come, you know, would he come and play on the fourth year of his rookie deal for the Cowboys to make this happen, a la Jalen Ramsey with the Rams? Yeah, you know, I think that's definitely a possibility. But guess what? The Rams are now staring down the barrel of, we're going to have to make Jalen Ramsey the highest paid corner in the game. Well, Minka Fitzpatrick's coming up for safeties. Derwin James is coming up for the safeties. The longer you wait, the higher the ceiling gets on the safety money, depending on sort of where we're projecting out with salaries, which, let's be real here, I mean, none of us really knows what's going to happen. We're in completely uncharted waters now with the future of the NFL and next year's cap and all these things. So it would take a lot of gymnastics for the Cowboys to get this done. You'd have to push the money around. Can it happen? Yeah, absolutely. The cap now is as fluid now as it's ever been before. The Cowboys are very good at creating money, but the problem is, how top-heavy do you want to become? You've got Amari paid for the next 2 years. You're going to pay Dak. You're going to pay Zeke. You know, you paid Tank. You know, you get the offensive line. I mean, it's just, you've become very, very top-heavy. And I'll tell you right now, the Rams, it's hell. Okay, like, it was hell being that top heavy in a spare few players. And I think the Cowboys have to know that and then ask yourself this. I know people use safeties in a lot of ways. I know Jamal Adams is a great safety in the game. Absolutely. I just don't know. I don't know if safety is that position where you're completely, you know, sitting there and going, well, let's really paint ourselves into a corner and a completely uncertain time financially for the entire league.
We had Gary Myers on yesterday, who kind of reignited all this stuff, and he was throwing out his own idea. If it's a first and a third, then maybe would the Cowboys give up a first and Michael Gallup? What did you make of the Michael Gallup thought? And Michael Irvin, of course, texted RJ here on Friday saying he heard it's a first and a third, and then Gary Myers threw in Michael Gallup. What did you think of that?
So I will tell you right now, the only – person I've heard the Gallup name, I mean, I've talked to people on both sides, okay, and the only person who I've heard say Michael Gallup's name is Gary Myers, and so I don't know if Gary is sitting there and going, okay, what's comparable, you know, to a third round pick. You know, is he thinking in his mind, well, maybe Michael Gallup is, that's a sweetener over a third round pick, he's maybe a little bit better piece than a third round pick. Plus, you sit there and go, you just drafted CeeDee Lamb. You know, that gives you some cap flexibility with Amari Cooper in a couple of years. But maybe you just, you know, deal with it now and go, hey, we're expecting CeeDee Lamb to be a great player. And this, you know, we don't have to now worry about extending Michael Gallup. I don't know if he's connecting dots there. I can only tell you I have not heard Michael Gallup's name. I have heard first and a third. That's legit. That's real. But again, I will reiterate, I don't know if first and a third's real for the Cowboys. And so maybe that's where Gary's coming up with, maybe it's not going to be, it's going to have to be a first and something a little bit better than a third. And Gary, in Gary's mind, he's saying there's a need here at wide receiver. And, you know, this would seem to make some sense. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say Gary's wrong here. You know, I think Gary's dialed in. I'm pretty sure I know who Gary's dialed in there and with. And, but it's, you know, the Cowboys got to make the call for this to even be a conversation that begins, and that hasn't happened. So, you know, we're talking about a lot of stuff right now that is not even remotely real because no calls have taken place. And I'm just telling you, the Jets do not want to be in a situation where they're dealing a guy who they feel like sort of, you know, knifed his way off the roster, the way Jalen Ramsey did in Jacksonville. They don't, but I also think they don't want to have the same situation either where Ramsey became a problem, you know, in Jacksonville. It was like, is this guy even going to step on the field? You know, oh, there's a back problem. There's this, there's that. And, you know, do the Jets really want to deal with that either? So Cowboys just need to worry about Dak Prescott and getting that either squared away or not squared away and then making their decisions moving forward.
Charles, in your best guess, is Dak on the tag this year, or did they get him signed to a 4 or 5 year deal before July 15th?
I just feel like I think it's going to get done. I think that it's something that, you know, once again, when we get up against the July 15th deadline, if you're Dak's camp, you know, this whole argument is boiling down to that 1 year, the fourth year versus the fifth year. You know, I just don't feel like really they're that far apart. It's just they're so stubbornly dug in because of how this negotiation has gone at points. I mean, the Cowboys could not have felt more burned than they did when they went back to Dak's camp last September and the number went up, you know, or late September and you know, early October, the number went up. And that really was a hurtful point, and I think they were not only upset at Dak's representation, I think they were a little upset at Dak. And, you know, and it's business, you know, and I'm not saying like as a player or anything like that, but you would be kidding yourself to sit there and think they were never kind of mad at Zeke during that negotiation. I mean, it's germane to, you know, the process. So I still think I have faith that this is something that they're actually not that far apart. They're just stuck the same distance, and they have been for a long time. But it because of maybe some of the uncertainties, because of the fact that we may have a flat cap in 2021, you know, maybe Dak's side, there's a little more push to, hey, maybe we should just take this as a pretty good deal on the table, and we'll figure out a way to do it now and smooth out the difference in years at the last minute. But I'll tell you this. I think if he doesn't get the deal done, by July 15th, it's Kirk Cousins all the way. Like, he's not. This is I am going to go to market, or I'm going to make you exhaust the tags at that point and absolutely maximize my leverage over you.
So you don't think a long-term deal gets done if they don't get it done by July 15th?
Well, I mean, you know, because of the tag, like, it's got to be done. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the cutoff point. So if he signs the tag and they don't get the deal done, you can't negotiate again until next offseason. So, you know, he's off the books. Once he signs that tag, you can't extend him in the middle of the season. You're not even supposed to be diving into that situation. So the phones are turned off. And I just feel like if he has to play this year on the tag, you really are starting to slide the leverage. I mean, he's already got great leverage, but yeah. I went through the Kirk Cousins thing with the Washington Redskins, and they always felt like, hey, we're not really going to be up against it even if we use the tag. Once they used that tag, it was over. Like, they were so up against it, and they knew when that second tag was coming that they were like, we're at a breaking point here. Like, we're going to have to let him test the market. We don't have a choice here because we're not going to end up paying this guy, you know, for whatever it was, $34.5 million. I mean, it was just like it was astronomically jumping, and the organization was just like, we've painted ourselves into a corner we can't get out of.
Charles, did Dak's price tag go up because of the 3-0 start he had with 9 touchdowns and 2 picks last year? Did they after the first 2 or 3 weeks say, hey, our guy is an early MVP candidate after the first 3 weeks, the price just changed?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what happened. I mean, I think that, you know, look, I think they were unhappy that it was something that didn't get done before the season. I think they were unhappy that, you know, Jerry, there were a lot of signals from the organization, you know, in camp and then really running up against it at the beginning of the regular season that, hey, we're going to get this done. And Jerry was telling everybody it's going to get done. We're, you know, everyone's so optimistic about it. And Dax camp didn't feel that way. Like they, you know, they were like, look, we're not going to do the long-term control here. It was a negotiation that was never great from the start. I think even, you know, I've told this story before that from what I understood that, you know, the Cowboys' very first number, we're talking about way back at the start of the Dak Prescott negotiations, and we're going back pretty far, that Dak's camp thought the first number was a lowball number and threw back a number back at the Cowboys that was just ridiculous. I mean, it was sort of like, like, you know, you see the meme of the guys like flipping each other off like in the street. Like that's kind of how the negotiation started. And then, you know, it just, as Dak progressed and improved and became more entrenched there as the guy and then went out and performed, you know, his camp was in Bolton. They're like, look, we don't have to budge here because we've got the guy who's getting better. We have the commodity and he's, you know, betting on himself and he's winning right now. And they felt like early in the season that he won, and when the Cowboys wanted to reengage, you know, and push it again after that start, they just said, look, all right, well, our price went up and we told you this could happen. And guess what? It just happened. And that was it. They didn't even talk for, I remember going back to someone with the Cowboys and it was in, I want to say like January. And he was like, he's like, what are you guys talking about? Like, we haven't talked in months. Like, you guys keep updating the story and I keep seeing this. And he's like, we haven't talked in months. He's like, what are you guys doing here? He's like, there's no change in this. And you guys keep pushing it like there's a change and there's not. I feel like that's what's been a lot of, go back to September of 2019 until now. We've re-reported, re-diced, mixed, Vitamixed it. We've done everything we can with this thing. And it really has not changed significantly since that moment in September of 2019. Not enough to have been, you know, meaningful, and these two sides are really, you know, close to striking a deal. They're still arguing over the same things they were then.
Charles, I'm sorry to time squeeze you because we had to go Cowboys, but yesterday you were all over the news for saying NFL teams could practice in June. Then the NFLPA kind of responded to that. Real quick, is this a major hurdle that we really haven't talked enough about? The NFLPA saying you kind of need us to agree to get on the field to get a season going.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of got into it. NFLPA president J.C. Tretter plays the Browns. We got into it on Twitter yesterday because I tried to point out, hey, you're saying you hold the cards to get this done. Guess what? That was in the story. Like, I reported that. That's literally in there. Mm. Just read the story. Don't read the aggregated headline. I'm not reporting you're going to have a mini camp. I'm saying, like, here's the process that's in place. Teams, the league, they'd love to get coaches in next week. I think conservatively, like maybe the end of next week, they'd really like to get coaches back in the fold there. Some things got to slide the right way with some state governments, but they're trying to get the first thing done, which is getting coaches back in the building and then figuring out, can we squeeze in something with players? Maybe it's a voluntary mini camp, something of that nature before the break. And I'm just telling you, teams, front offices, they see Tom Brady working out with guys. They see Lamar Jackson out here working out with guys, and you'd be crazy to think that teams aren't sitting there going, well, geez, if they're out there working out, why are they in the park? Like, if we're going to have coaches back in here at some point, maybe we can get some of the guys in the building and do not a full-blown opening, but maybe a little bit of a soft opening to get an idea of what are the hoops we need to start to jump through.
Charles, thank you so much. As always, great reporting, and we appreciate it, man. Keep up the great work, and we'll be tracking you down in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.